Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. From getting to work and school, to getting outside and away from it all, weather impacts everything we do.
And a look at some stats over the summer season.
From Portland's most accurate forecast team.
A stretch of time where we're dry is kind of interesting.
With meteorologist Kelly Bairn.
And we're back.
And Joseph Dames.
I don't mind kale. It's not my favorite.
This is your weather.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back into another Your Weather Week podcast. It is Tuesday, March 16th, and we are one day away from St. Patrick's Day. We've got Joseph Dames on the other line. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning to everyone. Happy Tuesday. Good start to the, we had a kind of a busy day on Monday, but it feels like Monday to me now because usually we do the podcast on Monday. So I want to say it's a good start to the week.
Yeah, we've got a fun holiday during the week, some nice weather to kick off the week, also some rain to talk about, too. So, it is a nice Tuesday morning. We did see some chilly temperatures this Tuesday out to Hillsborough. I believe we broke a new record cold morning of 25 degrees, the old record of 26, back in 1955. So, I mean, that's still preliminary. The National Weather Service has to go and check that by the end of the day. But can you imagine that? Mid-20s. We're in the middle of March.
Yeah, that's so cold. I mean, that's colder than some of the days that we've probably had in the middle of winter when it was, you know, December, late December and through January and parts of February. I mean, I think we only dipped below, 32 a couple times here in Portland. So mid-20s, woo.
Yeah, very, very bitter cold out there. And it was because we're building up this high pressure. So clouds are kind of filtering out. We're getting that radiational cooling overnight. Yeah. Didn't really see too much fog this morning. Just a very cold start, beautiful sunrise, just that crispy sunrise with a lot of colors out there. Kind of love these mornings, even though it does get real cold.
Did you post some photos?
I actually
didn't.
Did you get some
camera views?
I did see some awesome camera views, but I posted a lot on Monday, so I decided to give people a break on Twitter. I'm always posting sunrise photos.
explain that. I feel that same way sometimes with like the sunsets on the weekends. I'm like, God, I've shared so many like sunset images, but they're so beautiful, but you kind of feel like you overdo it. I've been there. No doubt.
It's hard to resist a good view. I wonder if people get tired of it. It seems like they don't because I get a lot of engagement on those photos. So
yeah, it's like pet photos. I think those do really well. And I think sunset photos and sunrises do really well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I want to mention the weather we saw on Monday, though. You were working for Natasha, who's off on vacation, and you were around for all of the wacky weather we saw around Portland. So what happened on Monday?
Yeah, it was busy, especially it kind of depended on where you're at. The West Hills really saw a different variety of weather yesterday. The snow levels were so low, so that kind of played a factor in to what the precipitation was going to be like. We had frozen precipitation in all forms yesterday. Like, we had snowfall up on the West Hills, 700 feet, 500 feet, I think it maybe even went down to at one point in time. We had small hail through parts of the Portland metro area. And then we had grapple, which was something that we had covered a couple times in the broadcast yesterday. So if you didn't join us, I attached a little something to social media. But really, it's just a soft kind of snow pellet. We had that in the West Hills as well. So because that snow level was so low, we had colder air pretty close to the surface. And it was just a mixed bag of precipitation yesterday. So
yeah,
we had photos of hail and grapple all across the Portland metro area.
And we also saw some sunshine. So it was just a complete mixed bag. But I think grapple was the buzzword this morning. I kind of talked about it a little too.
Nice.
And Ken Boddy, Jenny Hansen had no idea what it was. They heard me say it on air and they were like, what? Grapple? And they couldn't stop saying it. So it was cool to see that. It definitely looks like hail, but as soft as snow. So interesting to see those colder areas getting that mixed frozen precipitation yesterday. It was very short-lived, but we did see a lot of good photos of it, especially on the west sides there.
It came in bursts. And our our coworker Mary Lowe's, she sent in video of snowfall, and then literally 10 minutes later she had grapple. And so it was a very busy, like, somewhere from about like 2 to 5:30. It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I will say living in the West Hills would be the most exciting place to live in Portland. I feel like talking to Mary, she's always just telling me about the major ice she sees every winter. She'll get snow, you know, like she did yesterday, and then grapple too. So if you're looking for a place to live and you love weather, maybe choose the West Hills, the west sides of Portland. But as we head into today, it looks fairly nice. I think today will be the nicest day of the week with the most sunshine. A little warmer on Wednesday. You know, temperatures kind of rise back to our normal highs in the upper 50s for this time of the month. Today, low 50s, but at least we get a couple dry days here this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a pair of days that you're going to want to get outside, probably do some things. Did it look a little cloudier on Wednesday? I mean, I know today is going to be just almost clear blue sky for most of the day. I think a few more clouds try to roll in on Wednesday, but temperatures, you're right, are slightly warmer.
Yeah.
Nice weather, though. I mean, just being outside, doing things, whether it's a hike, whether you're just going for a bike ride, walking around the block, real nice.
It is, yeah. I think tomorrow does bring in a few more clouds, maybe partly cloudy by lunchtime and beyond, but yeah, still a couple of awesome days to do outdoor things. And you know what? We do have some exciting news out of the Oregon Zoo. So they are getting Nora, the polar bear, back. And a lot of people may remember Nora. She went out to a zoo in Salt Lake City for a little while. But I actually got to talk to Amy Cutting at the Oregon Zoo about Nora and her return and when she may be able to be seen across the zoo again for folks who are wanting to go check her out and see other animals. So take a listen.
My name's Amy Cutting, and I am an animal curator here at the Oregon Zoo.
What does an animal curator do?
Well, the simplest way to explain it is I supervise the keepers. So I run three different teams of keeper staff that are taking care of the animals.
Nice. Well, I think the exciting news is a VIP, or a very important polar bear, boom, is coming back to Oregon. I like to throw that joke in there. How exciting is this from your standpoint? And then maybe how wonderful is it for the general public?
You know, we are super thrilled that Nora is back. We spend a lot of time telling people it might not be Nora. It might not be Nora because there's a management group that makes those decisions. But of course, we're ecstatic that it is Nora. You know, she had a great relationship with our keeper. She really enjoyed their programming, the way they run the day for animals. And certainly we know the public is ecstatic about it. She's a very people-oriented bear, which makes it a lot of fun. She gets along with other bears now, which is exciting. And we have another bear coming in the fall. But because she is so people-oriented, she really will enjoy herself and interacting with the public once it's back open.
How big is Nora compared to maybe a standard brown or black bear? I have been to the zoo and seen the couple of bears that you guys do have there.
Yeah, absolutely. She's about the same size as our black bear boys. She's almost 500 pounds now. She was two years old and about 300 pounds when she left here. So now she's 5 years old and almost 500 pounds. So she's a big girl. She looks very petite, though, just because they have such dense muscle, right? That she has a pretty significant weight, even though she looks like a little bear. People will recognize her. Her face is similar. Her, you know, some of her mannerisms, if you will, like you can definitely tell it's Nora. Keepers at the Hogle Zoo did a fantastic job with her, though, helping her meet another bear and spend time with that animal, and kind of encouraged her with some tough love to go be a polar bear. So she's really she's learned a ton, and she knows how to entertain herself. She knows how to be relaxed and just hang out and take things as they come. And it's an impressive change. She's come a long way.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of kids are going to love being able to see a bear so up close. And, you know, that's how we learn about nature. So fantastic to see the Oregon Zoo getting a polar bear back. She was out in Salt Lake City. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep, the Utah's Hogle Zoo in Salt Lake City.
Very cool. Well, now she's back. I had a question about polar bears and their natural habitat. So they come from the Arctic, right? That's the North Pole. Penguins are in the South Pole. I always get that mixed up. But I'm sure it's, you know, very cold up there. What does the Oregon Zoo do to keep Nora and other polar bears cold? Do they still need those temperatures, or are they more acclimatized to our fair latitudes?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, polar bears in the wild are adapted to tolerate temperatures, you know, as low as negative 40 degrees. But what I often say is just because an animal can tolerate something doesn't mean that they prefer it. So they certainly don't mind the cold. They don't mind the snow. But I think of them, they're a little bit similar to dogs, where they have a great time regardless of the weather conditions, and they know how to self-regulate, right? So your dog is going to run around in the snow, but then they're going to be smart, and they're going to come in and warm up or dry off if they need to before they go do it again. Similarly, some of you may have a black dog at home that likes to lay in the sun on a hot day until you can barely touch them. They're so hot. And then they go find a shady spot and cool off, but they enjoyed that basking. And so what we've done with the habitat is try to create a whole range of thermal opportunities, temperature regulation opportunities, so the animals can decide for themselves how cool or how hot they want to be. So we have a cave that can be cool. It's a visitor cave. You can be on one side, the bear on the other. We can cool that down on hot days if they want to be in there. The water system, we have 135,000 gallons of water, and we will cool that down below ambient temperature. Other facilities have told us you don't want to cool it too much, because polar bears actually won't get in if it's too cold, right? So they're a little finicky too. And then we'll have places where they can lay in the sun if they want, or we have an ice pile that will always be available that they can roll in. So again, the most important thing for us is to provide a real range for them and then just let them choose.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess when I imagine the Arctic, I think it's, you know, sub-freezing and windy and blizzardy all the time, but that's probably not the case. So, you know, the range of different areas that Nora can go to and cool off or warm up makes sense. Very cool to see that. And it seems like the public can see her in these different areas as well.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things about polar bears is we tend to think about like, oh, and they can go into that icy water and they still stay warm. They go into that really cold water. But remember, if it's negative 40 degrees out and the water is 32 degrees, the water is actually warm to them, potentially. It has a different, you know, it has a different specific heat, right? So you can lose heat quite quicker, but it actually probably feels pretty warm to them. So again, just because animals can tolerate things doesn't mean they necessarily prefer it. And they've adapted to put on a really thick layer of fat in the wild that we don't usually have them put on in the zoo to keep their joints healthy. So they can definitely adjust our temperatures, no problem.
That is really cool. And something that I'm sure a lot of kids and people will learn as they go see Nora. So I didn't know that. Really cool fact right there. Last question. When can the general public see Nora? When will she be ready for playtime?
That's a great question. You know, she's going to tell us. The way that it works is bears, when they transfer to a new facility, they have some period of acclimation. That's both emotional and physical, right? We want to get her transitioned on their new diet items. We want to make sure she's not, every animal has some level of parasitism, right? So we want to make sure she's not shedding any parasites before we put her out on a soft surface and then have to live with them forever, right? So she's got a few steps that she's got to go through. But then we also have an off exhibit holding yard. So as soon as she's done with that sort of quarantine acclimation period, she'll be able to play around in the off exhibit yard until we feel like she's ready. So she's going to tell us, but I know everybody just wants to know, but when? And so the short answer is she's going to tell us. The short answer is early April.
Early April.
I have confidence that we'll be able to get her out there early April.
Awesome. Yeah, that doesn't seem too long. I think we can all wait for that. That is so exciting. One more question. How do you feel about Mei Mei and Pabu leaving the Oregon Zoo?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I know everybody fell in love with those two. I'm excited for them, though, because Zoo Montana is a great place, and they've got an excellent, you know, big outdoor, beautiful area. Our exhibit happens to be right next to a train and right next to the tigers. And Mei Mei was just not a huge fan of that scenario. Mm. We were very surprised that she was that she bred and that she successfully raised a cub there. But our space is typically not thought of as a good as an ideal opportunity for pandas that are reproducing. So it's better for her to move on. Pabu's going to be going off to start his own family anyway, but I know it's hard for folks. What I would say is Moshu, who's our male, who's still with us, is amazing. He's the most chill, like, hangout dude. He's a lot of fun, really relaxing. And I think people actually see a panda more often. Mei Mei insisted on having access to holding every day, whereas Moshu could care less. So he's out there hanging, and people will get a good chance to see him actually on grounds. I know our videos are super fun. But most, a lot of people weren't seeing them when they were on grounds. And now I think they'll see most of them there.
Last time I went to the zoo was back in July. So I got a chance to see Maymay and Pabu for the first time. And it was lovely. And I think the brand new chimpanzee exhibit too was awesome. So.
Yeah, exactly. We are finishing up a couple of exhibits. So chimpanzee just got done and our four animals have been out there enjoying that. We have a second habitat for that chimp exhibit that's going to come online and hopefully adding more animals in the fall. We've completed construction on our rhino exhibit and are just waiting to get our recommendation from the rhino SSP about what animals we'll be receiving. So this summer and fall are going to be pretty exciting times at the zoo.
Oh, that is so great. And Nora, most likely in April. So hopefully that goes on that timeline. I think that's it, Amy. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Okay, yeah, that is so exciting that we can see a polar bear, you know, across a glass pane. And this polar bear, you'll just learn so much about nature seeing animals at the zoo. So that is awesome. Sometime in April, hopefully, we'll be able to see Nora. But Joseph, wanted to ask, when was the last time you went to the Oregon Zoo? And also, how do you feel about red pandas? I know they're some of my favorites.
Yeah, red pandas are so cute. To be honest with you, I have never been to the Oregon Zoo.
Oh my goodness.
Never been there.
Joseph.
I just have yet to go. It's one of those experiences here. I know that we have a wonderful zoo and I have yet to actually go for that experience. So this might have to be the time that I go. I need to go check out Nora. I mean, I just learned so much.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like the right to live in Portland. You've got to go to the zoo. I went during the summer for my first time, and it's actually a very easy walk. They set up a clear pathway. It brings you through all the exhibits. It took like an hour, and it was actually a lot of fun. I think a lot of folks think zoos are just for kids, but I had so much fun staring at a chimpanzee right through the glass. He was picking one of his brother's, you know, bugs off his back. So it was a lot of fun, and I saw Moshu and Maymay, the two parent pandas, over the summer. Then they had Pabu. And sad to see those two go, but Moshu is still there. And I had so much fun seeing them play around. They're just the cutest. So
yeah, they bring so much joy.
They do. They're so silly. That's really the word for it. Just overall a great place to go, especially on, you know, a couple of nice weather days. So get to it. Joseph, you got to head out there.
I know. Yeah, they're open like every day, so I need to.
I'm truly shocked.
Tuesday. Yeah.
All right. Me too. Well, we do have some rain to talk about. You know, we're not seeing a full dry week here. So I see by Thursday, a rather hefty system kind of starts to roll in on Thursday. We'll get some scattered showers by the morning and then kind of looks rainy as we head into the weekend.
Yeah, it just sticks around for like 4 or 5 days. We're just unsettled. We have showers here or there, which also means our temperatures are going to be probably a little bit colder too, like probably a little bit below average, lower 50s maybe.
Yeah, temperatures in Portland are right around low 50s, like 52, 53 from about Friday through like Monday.
It doesn't fluctuate much. Pretty consistent right there in the lower 50s. You know what was interesting, not to go back in time too far, but for our Monday, we hit 48 for our high. It's the first time we didn't break 50 degrees this month. And that was like almost 10 degrees below average. And we just can't get a 10 degree above average day where we'd be at like 68. Like, can we get that? I wouldn't mind that.
Right. And like looking at the long-term forecast, it still looks a little cooler than normal even. As we head towards the end of the month, like the third and fourth weeks of March here. So I bet you we stay right around the 50s on average, low 50s even. But I did look at some stats, and I think frequency-wise over observed history, we tend to see a better chance for the upper 60s, about 70 at the end of this month. And then it's much more likely in April. So we're just about there. We're on the tip of the iceberg before we break into some warmer temperatures. I don't know if tip of the iceberg was the right thing to use there, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. We're right there, right? The tip of the iceberg. I mean, we could change it. It could work for this. We are very close to that, but it's just kind of feels very average. This whole month has just kind of felt average to me. Like, this is what March kind of feels like. We're, you know, around the mid-50s, lower 50s some days, upper to 60 degrees. It just kind of feels like an average March. As we do get that system rolling in late week, we do have a chance for maybe some snowfall. Some cold air moves in Thursday into Friday. Snow levels down to about the pass, maybe a little bit below by Friday. But just like a few inches, kind of similar to what we had going on Sunday into Monday. It wasn't impressive, but it was enough to bring some snow.
Yeah, I think I saw at Mount Hood Meadows and Timberline, we only, tacked on about 2 inches of new snow.
Yeah.
So it was a very light coating. And snow levels have bumped up quite a bit over last weekend. So a lot of that snow is fairly soft below some of those higher lifts, like Palmer out at Timberline and Cascade lift out at Mount Hood Meadows. So I think those are the lifts to get on if you're still into spring skiing.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they're open this weekend, and plus that new snow, some lower snow levels may still make some of those runs on the ski slopes okay. But I'm not really a big fan of skiing on soft snow, so I'm hoping, this spring as we jump into it, we still get some good skiing weather.
Yeah, maybe a good snowstorm here or there up there, bring in some, some fresh snow. The spring passes are always such a wonderful deal too, so to get up there, get a spring pass. Yeah, it's still a lot of the base is still really nice. So
if you catch a sunny day, it's so worth it. It's some of the most fun skiing out there. So yeah,
it's like therapeutic. Well, it just feels good.
Well, Joseph, anything else you want to add? Or
I don't think so. Have a good St. Patrick's Day if that's something that you're into. Yeah. I think it's gonna be a nice day for that. I'm not Irish at all, but they say everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. So
Well. I am half Chinese, so I am not half white, definitely not Irish. So.
Yeah, no Irish here either, but everyone's always outside doing things, having fun. It's just one of those days.
Yeah, we'll celebrate tomorrow, and at least it'll look dry. Do you have a favorite day of the week?
I'm going to go with that. I think Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, it sounds like a good day. I'm going to wear green, too.
Nice. I'm going to go with Thursday. I think we could see some heavier downpours. Those are always fun. Maybe a little more hail as that system rolls in. So I feel like I tend to choose the rainier days sometimes. You like the drier, sunnier days?
Lately I have been. Yeah, it's a mood thing,
So, yeah.
Hopefully.
I think we're all itching for warmer weather.
I am. Guilty, 100%.
Spring starts on Saturday too, which is exciting.
Good point.
So we'll ring in that new season likely with some rain showers over the weekend. But until then, enjoy these couple of dry days and prep for rain on Thursday and beyond. And we'll catch you in the next podcast.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.